This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, Jim, we're making it through Lent, aren't we?
Hey, we are. We're going to give people a chance next week to do a little bit of almsgiving during Lent, too.
True.
That's part of what Lent's all about. We're going to have a share-a-thon coming up next Tuesday and Wednesday, so you might try and save up a few pennies for that and make whatever arrangements you need to make at your household so that you're able to support Catholic Radio during our share-a-thon coming up next week. And so just mark your calendar, Tuesday and Wednesday next week, share-a-thon here on Catholic Radio Indy. If you just can't wait till the share-a-thon or think you might not be available during the share-a-thon, you can always go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and you can click on the donate button or the support button there and make a donation right now if you want, and we'll certainly count that for the share-a-thon as well. You know, ever since all of us were little children, there's one thing that we really love to give, we love to get excited about, and that's gifts. I mean, a two-year-old, you know, if you mention gift, they're all excited about it. And as they grow older, they not only like to get gifts, but they like to give gifts as well. And this program is about a gift that, well, I'm not sure everybody would like to give or get.
That's true, Jim. That's a great lead-in. Well, yeah, we are in the season of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and suffering can actually be a gift. And that's really our topic today, how suffering can be a gift to others. And our guest is Marianne McAtee. She is a nurse, a cancer survivor, and a contributor to the Catholic Moment. And I saw this wonderful piece that she wrote in the Catholic Moment called Offering Up Our Suffering, a Priceless Gift to Give to the Ones You Love. Marianne McAtee, thanks for being our guest today and welcome to Faith in Action.
Well, thank you for inviting me today.
Well, one of the things that we really like to do here on Faith in Action is to really bring people to our audience that really do put their faith in action. And I really felt that this article was just such a beautiful expression of how we can share our suffering as a gift to others. But most people don't really think of suffering as a gift. Right, Marianne?
Right. I would say the world would think we're crazy. The world wants us to reject suffering. But as Catholics, the Catholic Church teaches us in her tradition that all suffering has meaning, and we shouldn't waste our suffering, but we can unite it to the suffering of Christ on his cross.
And the thing about suffering is, whether you use it for good or bad, we all encounter it. We can't really escape suffering in our lives. So why not make it meaningful?
Right. I think we have a choice every day whether to wallow in our suffering. And some sufferings are really big, and some sufferings are really small. Or if we choose to intentionally offer it up to Christ for others. And so when I was a little girl, I often heard the term, offer it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people say that as much. But I think for a long time, I thought that just meant just be quiet about it or just be stoic. And that's really not what the Church teaches. God invites us to share in the way he loves other people by uniting our suffering to his suffering. And so an example I had was, in the article I talked about, honestly, I have a tendency to complain easily about things. And one time my daughter said to me, who's very wise, she's only 27, but she said, well, God is inviting you to share more deeply in his passion. And it made me kind of turn around my thinking and how I thought of suffering, and I started to think of it as more of a gift, that he chose me for whatever it is, and he wants me to grow with him in that suffering. So sometimes suffering is a gift to me, and you can definitely use it as a gift to others as you pray for different people's intentions.
I want to ask you to talk a little bit about yourself. You're in nursing. Tell us where you work and maybe how long you've been a nurse, maybe what type of nurse you are, and maybe who you serve.
Sure. I work in an ambulatory surgery setting, which it means I get people ready for surgery and people back from surgery. I work at St. Elizabeth East, which is part of Franciscan Alliance in Lafayette, Indiana. So I feel very fortunate to work at a Catholic hospital. I've been a nurse for 40 years. I've been there for 30 years.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I mean, that role that you play, I mean, I've had many surgeries myself, and anyone that's had surgery, it's kind of a scary thing. And you know, having a nurse that's just so calm and loving, and I mean, it's a special gift to be that type of nurse, not just a nurse, but that type of nurse. You know, I'm sure you have tons of stories of, like, just being present to people, you know?
Well, I would say some of the things that I've gone through in my life has helped me to be hopefully a better nurse. For instance, in 2014, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, nobody wants to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But as I went through the whole process, I began to see that as a gift. And one part of that gift was that it helped me be a little bit more compassionate to other people, especially people that are anxious before surgery, especially people that are going through cancer. And so, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can live your faith in your job, but I think nursing is definitely, for me, a great way to try to serve other people and try to serve them joyfully as I can. So.
Now, when you talk about offering it up and enduring suffering and things like that, we want to make sure that we're talking about a particular type of suffering. If I break my arm, I'm really suffering, but I shouldn't. I should still go get my arm fixed, right?
Definitely, and I don't think we should ask for certain types of suffering. We shouldn't be a glutton for punishment, for sure. But suffering is definitely going to come your way, one way or another. Sometimes it's really a big suffering, especially like the loss of a loved one. You know, grief, to me, I think is probably the hardest suffering. Physical pain. But I think there's times every day in our lives. Like this morning, I went to the dentist, and I had to swish my mouth for 30 seconds with hydrogen peroxide, which to me was just awful. I just didn't like it. But, you know, it's, you can even offer something that like that up. Or if a person comes and sits by you and they're chomping their pretzels or tapping their fingers on the table, there's just lots of things that we have to suffer through every day, and there's a lot of great saints that have also suffered it and talked about it. And I especially think of St. Therese of Lisieux, and how there's a famous story of how there was a nun beside her that kept making a noise. I don't know if it was with her teeth or the way she did her rosary in her hands, but it drove her crazy. But she learned to offer that up, that irritation. And as she offered that up, she learned to also love that sister who was driving her crazy. So, yeah, it's not asking people to go look for suffering at all. It'll come along. Don't worry.
So without getting into a deep theological discussion of what I want to ask the question: what does it actually mean to offer it up? We do hear that term a lot. I mean, I think most Catholics have grown up with that term, and we kind of instinctively know what that means. How does offering it up, what does that mean, and how does it actually benefit others?
Okay, well, I would say that it means, first of all, accepting the suffering and understanding that you were chosen for it. And it's God wants you, God gave you this gift. Everything is grace. So accepting it and then making the decision to pray as you're suffering for I think in particular when you can pray for individuals is really the best way to do it, because for a while there, I would just kind of do these generic prayers, like I'm praying for the conversion of sinners, or I'm praying for women who are considering abortion, and those are very good things to offer up for. But recently I had a big back surgery that I had quite a bit of pain, and I realize that I need to be really specific in how I'm offering the suffering up. So every day I chose somebody that day my pain was for them. And, you know, of course, my spouse, I took a day on my children, a lot of my just different individuals in my life. So as I suffered through the day, I kept bringing that person's name to mind and just saying, today, Jesus, I give this pain for Steve. Today, I give this pain for Aaron. And I think that someday, maybe not this side of heaven, but we will realize that people that are suffering, especially maybe people in nursing homes or that are really sick, that they're really the warriors right now for all of us. That the people that really joyfully, or even if it's not joyfully, if they're just offering it up however they can, are very efficacious in their prayers for others.
Now, you mentioned joyfully there. That doesn't mean that in my example of the broken arm, you have to smile all the time the doctor is setting it.
No.
It means
I don't mean it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so kind of a joyful in an acceptance way of saying, you know, this is a situation that I'm dealing with, and obviously it's painful, but I'm offering it up for a particular cause, and that's
right.
A good thing.
Uh-huh.
And I want to ask you, Marianne, what's been your experience, I guess, in when you do offer that up, that suffering that you have for that specific person? How does that make you feel? Does it give you consolation? Does it bring meaning? I'm just curious, what has been your experience when you do that? Because I mean, Jim and I could probably share our experiences too, but I'm curious, you know, what your experience has been.
Well, obviously, if you're offering up for somebody close to you or somebody that you love, it's, you know, you're happy to do that. And, you know, I'm sure it brings you closer to the person. But what I found also after my surgery recently, that I decided one day I need to really start suffering for people that maybe I'm not close to, or even maybe that I don't like. Maybe somebody in the workplace or somewhere who has at some time hurt my feelings or whatever the situation is. So I would take that person's name and pray for that person all day. And what I found was by the end of that day, I saw that person differently. I saw that person as someone that Jesus really loved and that Jesus thought of and that Jesus suffered for on the cross. And it just helped me to be a little bit more understanding and patient with somebody that's maybe not, you know, somebody that you don't really care for. And that was a big moment for me to try to love somebody like in that way.
That's such a great example. We're going to get to more of this. We need to take a quick break. And when we do, we're going to talk about a couple of examples that Marianne had shared in the article. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Faith in Action is our oldest, longest-running program here on Catholic Radio Indy. We're looking for some local Catholic businesses or organizations to help us underwrite the cost of this program. It doesn't cost a lot, and your underwriting support will help see that local programs like Faith in Action stay on the airwaves here in Central Indiana. Most businesses have never thought about underwriting a program. They don't know how much it'll cost or what they might say in their underwriting announcements. Well, that's okay, because with just a phone call, we can tell you all about it. Call Val at 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. The call is free and there's no obligation. We can really use your support. So please give Val a call right now while you're thinking about it. 317-870-8400 or email valerie@catholicradioindy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio and we're talking about The Gift of Suffering. We're talking with our guest, Mary Ann McAtee. She is a parishioner at St. Boniface there in Lafayette, a nurse, a cancer survivor, and a contributor to the Catholic Moment, which is where I saw this article, which prompted me to want to talk to you, Mary Ann. You have several stories about people that encountered suffering and how they dealt with it, and I wanted you to share those with us right now.
Okay, well, as I've written a few articles for the Catholic Moment, I've been really privileged to meet some wonderful people that I've talked to. And one was a couple, her name is Claire, and her husband's name was David. And Claire is, at 24 years old, she was widowed. And her husband, David, had a type of, very aggressive type of cancer. And she tells a story about their journey together through that. And they actually went to Lourdes. They were trying to seek a miraculous cure for David. And a woman saw them and gave them a third-degree medal. It was a relic of Padre Pio. And the words on the relic were, "Suffering is a gift. Blessed are those who use it wisely." And Claire says that David treasured the relic and offered his suffering, especially for priests, for vocations, and for the souls of friends and family members. And she, Claire, in her own suffering after his death, says, you know, how she struggled very much with the grief, but she says she continued to offer this suffering to God. Through the process, she said she was able to become very dependent on Christ. She says, "I offered everything up to him. Christ carried me through that very difficult time. Everything is grace, even suffering." So I'm really inspired by Claire and how, even in a very extremely tough time for that young couple, that they accepted what God had chosen for them, and they offered that suffering so beautifully for so many people. And Claire kind of touches on, too, in that statement, when we offer that suffering, you just naturally become closer and closer to Christ. I think that's the gift of that, because as you console the heart of Christ, you kind of grow more deeply in love with him, and I think that's what she's expressing there.
And it's really out of love that Jesus suffered for us, and it's really out of love that we can, you know, offer our sufferings that we're going through for others, and to bring them to Jesus if they're far away, or, you know, just to bring them into a closer relationship with him, or, you know, with, you know, family members, or whatever the situation is. You had a couple other stories you wanted to share.
Yeah.
A young person at Garen?
Yeah, there's an amazing young man. His name is Trace Bolger, and he attended Garen High School, and then he went on to Wabash College. When he was, shortly before he started college, he started having symptoms that it took him a while. They really never actually figured it out, but he had some sort of a neuromuscular disorder where his body just kept deteriorating, and they took him all over the place. They couldn't find out, but he was an extremely holy young man and really wanted to serve God in his life. And he did die about a year and a half ago of this, and his parents are Dan and Amy Bolger. And anyway, his parents talk about that Trace understood the idea of redemptive suffering. One day we were watching a rerun of Mother Angelica on EWTN talk about uniting our suffering to Christ's suffering on the cross, that our suffering has meaning when we offer it for others. Trace looked at me, and I will never forget the twinkle in his eye and the grin on his face as she spoke. I know he got it. I often reminded him as we cared for him, quote, "Offer this suffering up for me and your mom and your sisters, or all the people that are praying for you." So his story is amazing, Trace Bolger, and I think he really is a great example of suffering, really. Well, his favorite thing to do at Mass was to be the carrier of the cross. He loved to come in and carry the cross. And in the homily that Father Hahn gave him, he said that he ultimately really did get to be the one to carry the cross and really live that station of the cross.
Wow, that's true. I think when any of us are attending or praying the Stations of the Cross, you know, this Lent, I think it'll give us a little bit different of a perspective, you know, in sharing these stories. I think you had one more that you wanted to share.
Well, there's a woman that I know Noreen, she lives here in Lafayette. She goes to my parish, and she's been through a lot with cancer treatments, and she has talked about when she goes to do a chemotherapy treatment, every treatment, she offers that up for somebody in her life that needs prayers. And then they are the parents of 8 children, and I did an article about her, too, and in her journey, and her oldest daughter says, "My parents' journey has had many crosses over the years, yet they have built a family that breaks into song, laughter, and prayer every day. Our parents have taught us that suffering is valuable and given us an image of the cross that we can relate to." That's her daughter, Katie. So all those people, there's just a lot of people and a lot of stories that really inspire me. To realize, first of all, my sufferings maybe aren't as great as I thought they were when you hear some of these stories, but also to just embrace it, just like Jesus embraced his cross. And, there's a little, from Colossians about, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on the behalf of his body, which is a church." Which for a long time I didn't understand that, because obviously nothing is lacking in what Christ did for us. But I just think that he is asking us to, as you say, love as he loves from the cross.
And as you mentioned earlier, they can just be minor things too.
Right.
Just, I think you had mentioned, St. Teresa of Lisieux, how just minor irritations, rather than complaining about it, just taking that small thing that happens during the day that's an irritation and just say, "Lord, use this, take this to, and unite it with your suffering, this minor suffering of mine," and then apply it to, like you said, another loved one.
Right. Nothing drives me more crazy. Everybody's got a pet peeve. For men, it's usually somebody cutting them off on the road. But for me, it's being in line at the grocery store and they have to go check a price and you're on and on, And you can just say a little prayer to Jesus, "I don't know who needs this prayer right now, the aggravation of this moment, but here, please take this, and use it however you want."
Now, we normally supply our guests here on Faith in Action with a list of questions. Sometimes we get to them, sometimes we don't. But one that I want to get to here before we let our guests go today is, you're a nurse, and what keeps you motivated as you deal with suffering so much in your everyday job? What keeps you motivated?
Honestly, nursing has just been a wonderful career for me, and I really never wanted to do anything else. It's just... I would say that, it's just been a privilege for me to be with people. And maybe when I was younger, I would be more anxious about being around anybody that was suffering. But I think I'm older now and maybe used to it. And maybe I don't encounter people in deep suffering as much in my type of work. Although I do see women who are suffering miscarriages and people that are anxious or in pain. But... I don't know. I just don't consider that to be a difficult thing to do. I just enjoy it.
So in terms of your own suffering when you went through cancer, how did that impact your view, of suffering in general? Was that a time when you felt like it really maybe changed your view of suffering or helped you maybe enter into it or think of it in a redemptive way? Or was there a turning point for you?
All I know is that from the very beginning, the word gift came into my mind. And I don't know why, but I just knew that breast cancer was a gift. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And sometimes I wish that I had the receipt for that gift. But I did know that was a gift. And then when I kind of came through the surgery and the chemo, I could look back and see it was a gift because it helped me to see what is important in life. It helped me to see what's true. It helped me to be more sympathetic at work and at home. And the whole memento mori, remember death, it helped me realize there's 100% chance I'm going to die one day. And I don't know if I really truly believed that till I had that diagnosis. And it made me question, where am I going? And I realized that it was a privilege for me to unite that suffering to Christ. And that's when I started to, I read a book called Consoling the Heart of Christ by Michael Gately, which I recommend. And, you know, it just helps you learn to cling to Christ, that everything else is passing.
Is there a particular saint that you, I guess, maybe have an affinity for, or that had helped you through any suffering in particular, or one story of any particular saint other than Saint Therese, or is it Saint Therese of Lisieux that really kind of demonstrated how she offered up her suffering?
I think that story sticks with me the most, and I do like her a lot because I don't think I have any great things to offer the world, and that's okay. And she said, you don't have to worry about that. Just do small things with great love, and God will take care of it. And I think for just simple people like me, that she's a great saint to look to. But I also have, I mean, I love Padre Pio. I like John Paul II. I love Mother Teresa. You know, as Noreen Beardmore, when I interviewed her, she called them her board of directors, her saints that she goes to every day to talk to. And so I kind of have my own little board of directors. But, of course, Maximilian Kolbe, he's a great example of suffering for others. Great example.
So what would you like our listeners to take away in terms of suffering? Maybe a different perspective to take to look at that instead of just dreading it. You know, I guess you mentioned it's a gift.
Well, I would say what my daughter said to me stopped me in my tracks one day when she said, Mom, Jesus is inviting you to share more deeply in his passion. And it made me see suffering a lot differently. That instead of trying to reject it like the world tells us to accept it and embrace it and to... I think I say this in the cross, or in the article, that Jesus is making room for us on the cross. He's inviting us to be with him on the cross. And the way he loves so deeply all of us by suffering and dying for us, he'd like us to give that gift to the people in our lives too.
Great advice, great spiritual wisdom. You heard it right here on Catholic Radio Indy and Faith in Action. Marian McAtee has been our guest today. Thanks so much for sharing the gift of your life and the gift of suffering and helping us understand that a bit better. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.